Welcome to the British TV Watchlist, the podcast that covers Brit shows worth the binge from an American point of view. We've got insight and analysis into actors, characters, storylines, and entire series. If it's streaming on the telly, we've got thoughts. So pop the kettle on, settle in, and let's get started with another episode of the British TV Watchlist.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii, the land of hula dancers, Diamond Head, and the most beautiful sunsets. It's Michael T. We've got listeners all over the world. Welcome to those new listeners in Manila, Sweden, and Ireland. And let me know in the comments what area of the world you're from. We'd love to know. This is the British TV Watchlist, your cozy corner for British TV, detective dramas, and the occasional period piece. Today, we're heading to Edinburgh. Not for castles or whiskey tasting, but for something a little darker. Department Q. It's a new series on Netflix that you ought to add to your watch list. Let's start with where it all began. Department Q started as a book series by Danish author Jussi Adler Olsen. The first novel, The Keeper of Lost Causes, came out in 2007 and introduced us to Carl Mork and Assad, two guys stuck in a basement with a stack of cold cases. Sounds like punishment, right? But it turns out to be one of the most compelling setups in modern crime fiction. The book series took off. It's been translated into over 40 languages and sold millions of copies. And it didn't take long before the stories made their way to the screen, first as Danish language films and now as a Netflix adaptation. So what's the deal with Department Q? It's a unit within the Edinburgh Police Department created after a traumatic shooting leaves one officer dead and another paralyzed. Carl Mork, the detective who survived, gets reassigned to this new division. It's in the basement, it's underfunded, and it's basically where cases go to die. And as it happens in this scenario, the protagonist tries to come back a little too soon. But here's the twist. Carl doesn't just sit on his hands. He starts digging, with a lot of help from Assad, who was originally hired as a cleaner. They take on a case that everyone else gave up on. What starts as a bureaucratic exile turns into a powerhouse of justice. Let's talk about Carl Mork. He's not your typical TV detective. He's grumpy, emotionally closed off, and not exactly a people person. But he's sharp, really sharp. He's haunted by the shooting incident, and that trauma shapes everything he does. He's not out to impress anyone, he just wants answers. Then there's his sidekick. In the books, he's called Assad, but in the TV show, his name is Akram. Akram is the heart of the team, empathetic, observant, and quietly brilliant. His past is a bit of a mystery. He's got military experience and a quiet confidence, and it's not long before we see him put his mysterious skills to use. But what matters is how he balances Carl's cynicism. Akram sees people, he listens, and he's often the one who connects the dots that Carl misses. Their dynamic is one of the best parts of the series. It's not buddy cop, it's not mentor protege, it's two men learning to trust each other in a system that doesn't trust them. Later on, we meet Rose Dixon. She's the administrative assistant who brings both comic relief and emotional depth. Rose struggles with mental health, and the show handles it with care. She's not just there to file papers. She's a vital part of the team. She finds evidence, she asks the right questions, and she keeps Carl and Akram grounded. Department Q is a cold case mystery. The show handles one story over the entire season. Their first case, the mysterious disappearance of ambitious prosecutor Merritt Lingard, who vanished from a ferry 4 years earlier. As the team digs deeper, they uncover a disturbing conspiracy involving psychological torture, institutional cover-ups, and long-buried secrets. The investigation forces each member of Department Q to confront their own trauma while navigating a justice system reluctant to revisit its failures. Season 1 blends gritty procedural work with emotional depth. and it offers a slow-burning mystery that unfolds across 9 episodes. All the actors deliver strong performances. Department Q sets the stage for a compelling new crime drama. If you're enjoying the British TV watch list and want to help keep the clues coming, consider supporting us on Patreon at British TV Watchlist. Your support keeps the episodes flowing, the research sharp, and the kettle warm. As a patron, you'll receive shout-outs during future episodes, and you'll live with the quiet satisfaction of helping this cozy corner of British TV fandom thrive. We'll make sure each episode arrives like a perfectly brewed pot of Earl Grey, complete with a plot twist. Thank you for helping us solve the mysteries together. To join the case, visit patreon.com/British TV Watchlist. So why does Department Q resonate? I think it's because it's not just about solving crimes, it's about healing. Carl is trying to heal from the shooting. Akram is trying to build a new life. Rose is just trying to stay afloat. 3 lost, mysterious souls who are cobbled together to form Department Q. It's kind of a hallmark of British dramas and a keen dividing line between Brit and American characters. American lead characters are all gorgeous and handsome, hunky and sexy to no end. For me, that's a disconnect. Here in Hawaii, Vanessa Lachey starred as Jane Tennant in NCIS Hawaii. That kind of beauty and sex appeal just is not part of any police force, I'm sorry. In British dramas, the casting hits closer to home, closer to what's expected. If the character is a grizzled, seasoned cop, you get a grizzled, seasoned actor in that role, and it makes the entire show that much more believable. Matthew Good plays DCI Carl Mork, and he plays him to perfection. You feel that intensity as Mork tries to find his way back from the shooting. His bravado gets the best of him, or is that fear in disguise? You be the judge. You know Matthew Good. He's easily the most recognizable of all the cast. He was in The Imitation Game, Watchmen, The Crown, The Good Wife, and Downton Abbey. Akram Salim is played by Alexei Manilov. You may remember him from Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. Akram might be my favorite character in the show. He's determined, confident, patient, and quiet. Plus, we find out he can probably kill you with a pinky from his non-dominant hand. Akram's character also brings in themes of immigration and identity. He's an outsider in more ways than one, and the show doesn't shy away from that. It explores what it means to belong, to be seen, and to carry a past that others don't understand. Leah Byrne plays Rose. Rose has issues, and she reluctantly tries to claw her way back by joining Department Q. You'll recognize Byrne from Small Rose and Call the Midwife, Night Sleeper, and other shows. She plays Rose nicely with the kind of vulnerability that makes you cheer for her, and the character shines a light on mental health. Definitely a common theme in many media creations lately. One of the central characters in Season 1 is Prosecutor Merritt Lingard. It's her disappearance that the show is trying to solve. Lingard is played by actress Chloe Peary. You've seen her in The Queen's Gambit, Temple, and the 2020 version of Emma. This character has grit and determination written all over her. The series also critiques the system. So many cop characters do, don't they? A lot of these cases were mishandled, ignored, buried, or covered up. Department Q operates on the margins, often clashing with higher-ups who'd rather keep things quiet. That tension adds urgency to every episode. Department Q stands out for its focus on cold cases and character-driven storytelling. It's less about action and more about atmosphere. Compared to British dramas like Broadchurch or Line of Duty, it's quieter, more introspective, and that makes sense for a cast-off department within the force. What better place to put a bunch of misfits than the downstairs latrine? If I had one negative critique, it's that the volume of F-bombs feels like someone had deployed a jackhammer in our backyard. Bam! One after another in every episode. Once I counted double-digit F-words in the span of less than 5 minutes. It felt realistic, yet excessive, and it doesn't really lend to the characters or the plot. However, all in all, Department Q was a fun watch. I like how the team came together. They were all easy to root for as they were all facing some sort of personal challenge. And I was happy to read in mid-July 2025 that things are looking good for Season 2. That's it for this episode of the British TV Watchlist. If you've read the books or watched the series, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Drop a comment, send a message, like, and subscribe. And please share the show with someone who loves a good mystery. Until next time, cheers!
The British TV Watchlist is written and produced by Michael T. in Honolulu, Hawaii. Speculation and opinion powered by caffeine and curiosity. For more clever takes and cold cases, remember to subscribe, like, and share. Keep the mystery and the moxie rolling. All rights reserved. Copyright 2025 Michael T. Media.